Time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you were in our last class, you know that we had begun a Sunday school lesson on Peter and how he was delivered from prison. We read about that in Acts chapter 12, and we'll be returning to that lesson in just a moment. First, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 21st, 1925. Let me read to you the lesson text before we begin. First, this will be in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king put forth his hands to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison, and delivered him into four quarterions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church of God unto him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the guards before the door kept the prison." Herod had so imprisoned Peter because Peter must remain in prison until after Pentecost. During this time, prayer was made earnestly for the church unto God for him. It seems that they kept up a continual prayer before, during his imprisonment, and for many were gathered together in praying in the house of Mary when he was released, as we see down in verse 12. Others may have met at other places, and at home, and during the day, in secret, they doubtless prayed for him. They prayed for his deliverance, and of course, following the example of Jesus in the garden, they would have prayed, not their will, but God's be done. Why God should suffer James to be beheaded and release Peter is a question we cannot decide. He does all things well for his own glory and for the good of all who served him. The execution of Peter was a foregone conclusion. The Jews wanted him killed, and Herod was ready to gratify them. Peter, as we have seen, was well guarded and securely locked and barred in. But locks, bars, chains, guards, and gates were no hindrance to the Lord Almighty. And so we read Acts chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the cell. And he smote Peter on the side, and awoke him, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And he did so. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed, and he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." The angel came to rescue Peter. The light shone in the prison that he might see. The angel smote him to awake him, striking the chains from him and raising him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." The soldiers did not awake. While God did all this, Peter must do what he can. He must arise quickly, gird himself, put on his sandals and the outer garment, and follow the angel. He had laid off his outer garment, loosening his girdle, taking off his sandals, that he might be comfortable while he slept. Peter did all the angel directed, but could not tell whether it was a reality or a vision. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 10, when they came, were past the first, and when they came past the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a truth, that the Lord hath sent forth his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When the angel had led him past the first and second guard, through the iron gate which led into the city from the prison, which opened to them of his own accord, and through one street straightway the angel departed from him, Peter could now find his own way. God does not do for men what they can do for themselves. Seeing now that he was really out of the city, free from prison, he realized what God had done for him. Out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the Jews, shows that Peter understood that they expected to execute him on the morrow. Fully realizing his release, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. This must have been the meeting place for the disciples. This was Mark's cousin. This was Mark, cousin to Barnabas, Colossians 4 and verse 10. And hence his mother in this case would be aunt to Barnabas, or perhaps sister to Barnabas, if Mark was Barnabas's nephew. So we read in verses 12 through 17. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. This is Acts 12, now in verse 13. And when he had knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to answer, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for joy, but ran in and told that Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she confidently affirmed that it was even so. And they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened, they saw him and were amazed. But he beckoned unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declaring how that the Lord had brought him forth out of the prison, and said to tell these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. This was a broad gate opening from the court of the house into the street, in which was a small door to admit persons, the gate itself being wide enough for wagons. The house girl, Rhoda, which names Arose, responded. She asked who was there before the opening the door, and when she recognized Peter's voice without, she did not open the door for joy, but ran back to inform all the house that he was there. But none could believe her. They thought the girl mad. They had prayed for his deliverance, but were not ready to receive the answer as God gave it. It may be they were not expecting the deliverance in that way. This is an example to us to pray in faith to God and accept the answer in the way God is pleased to send it. It was his angel, they said. What they meant by his angel is not clear. They probably meant that it was Paul's spirit, Peter's spirit. Peter continued knocking at the door until they opened, and when they were convinced, they were astonished. Peter declared how he'd been delivered and directed them to relate these things to James and the brethren. This James was quite prominent in the church at Jerusalem. He would later write the epistle of James and identify himself as James, the Lord's brother, or he would be so identified in Acts chapter 15. Well, Peter watched as well is prayed. It says, And he departed and went into another place for safety. He left before day, another illustration of the fact that we should not expose ourselves unnecessarily to danger, and should use all possible means for the accomplishment of all purposes. We can well imagine there was no small stir among the soldiers of what was become of Peter. None could account for his disappearance, not even the soldiers between whom he had slept. Herod could obtain no information from the guards, and he ordered them to be put to death. Now verses 20 through 23 tell of the providential and violent death of Herod that occurred soon afterward. It is said that the royal apparel in which he made himself was a robe woven entirely of silver. And after his death, the word of God multiplied and grew, and thus another determined plot to exterminate the church served to extend it unto man. Let me close this Sunday school lesson by reading that. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20. Now he, that's Herod, was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, and they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was fled from the king's country. And upon a set day Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel, and sat on the throne, and made an oration to them. And the people shouted, saying, "The voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now with that, I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see that the lesson for June the 28th is a review lesson. The golden text is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "Ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is a most interesting review. It extends from the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, to the founding of the great congregation in Antioch of Syria among the Gentiles. It includes, therefore, the spread of the gospel among the Jews first, and then among the Gentiles, and the early growth of the church among both. What can be of so great importance as to study the establishment, the work, and the growth of the church under the personal and direct guidance of the apostles? They made no mistake, for the Holy Spirit spoke and worked through them. In this review, it will be seen what is remembered of this great work. And now we come to the Sunday school lesson written for July 25th, 1925. And this is going to begin a study of the spread of Christianity in Acts and the Epistles, or continue that. It's the second quarter of a 9-month course. And this first lesson is the beginning of foreign missions. And I want to read Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. I don't think I'll have time to read that in the time we have left, but we'll begin reading it, and we'll pick this up again then in our next class, and I may read the first part of that again. Here it is. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." This is the beginning of the great missionary journeys of Paul.